I would like to start the budget hearing for today, for the FY 2013 budget. Today, we are going to hear about revenues, debt services, and contingencies. Before we take testimony from our Department of Finance, I'd like to recognize the council members in the room. I am Councilman John Cartier. My aide, Christina Blomendahl, is taking the notes. We are joined at the table today by Councilman Retta, Councilman Weiner, Council President Kovat, Councilman Street, Councilman Tackett, Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilman Smiley. Let's see, no minutes to approve. Yes.
I'd like to make a motion. We approve the budget hearing minutes of March 26, 2012.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, with that, just one last thing before we begin. I've been notified that Councilman Hollins, Councilman Bell, and Councilman Sheldon will be absent today. They notified us. Okay. Ed Milowicki from our Department of Finance, the acting CFO. It's all yours, Ed.
Okay. Good afternoon. Thank you. Just a couple housekeeping measures. At the April 24th Council Finance meeting, I will be giving a checkbook update. I'll be reviewing the expenditure and revenue activity through end of March, and also the checkbook. I just want to introduce real quick the staff, primarily in the finance office that's in attendance today. Rich Pikarski back here, he handles most of our investment and banking relationships. You all know Russ Morris and Dave Delgrandi from the budget office. I think everybody knows the next gentleman, Denny Hartman, Councilman's best friend, when it comes to tax or sewer questions. And then Steve Cunliffe from the Treasury office also. Okay, we're going to use the handout, the revenue summary book. And with that, I'll start. Page one basically gives a summary of all the revenue sources by each fund. And we'll talk more about them as we go in the book. It shows the general fund, sewer fund, light tax, and crossing guards, and what each revenue source is that supplies the funding for those revenues. Just note, we do every year, and I gave council this back in September, for those that are interested, is the sources of revenue manual. It really breaks down these revenues of where they come from. It shows the definition of each of our revenue source, the references, and then the formula of how those are calculated. This is available for viewing on our finance website, and we update it again annually if any new revenues or new fees or any revisions that come about. So, but just to make note of that we do have a general encyclopedia of all the county's revenues and how those are determined in rates. Page two is our assumptions we use for our revenues. Primarily, we use various sources to do our revenue projections. We have NICFAC, Newcastle County Financial Advisory Committee, that we meet three or four times a year to review the current revenue projections and the next year revenue estimates. Our next meeting is scheduled with NICFAC is April 17th. We rely on department projections. We also look at DFAC, some of their key indicators that they put out. We work with the Board of Realtors. I'll send some of you an email that I get when I get information as far as home sales or RTT transactions. We look at what they're seeing in the market and various in the newspaper every day, what's going on, whether it be a new business coming or new business closing. We'll use that in our revenue estimate. So each one just explains briefly about each revenue source here, and we'll go into more detail as we go forward.
Ed, I had a question looking over this list. Federal revenue goes to community services.
Yeah, you'll see a page in here that shows you what we're anticipating in federal revenues, and most of that is from CD&H, but I'll show you that page when we get in here.
There's
a
record
for
that. Thank you.
Page three shows historical general fund revenue from 2006 to 2013 by the various sources that fund the general fund. Two things to note, if you look at the very schedule in the middle, the box in the middle, you'll see in 2006 we were getting $66 million in real estate taxes, $41 million in transfer tax. Go all the way down to 2013, you'll see we now get $108 million from real estate taxes and transfer tax of 16%. To put that in perspective, you look at the box on the very bottom, you'll see in the early years of 2005-2006 we were getting about 43% of our money from real estate taxes and 27% of our transfer tax. That is complete completely flipped in 2012, about 65% of the revenue that funds the general fund operation, the daily operations of the general fund, comes from property tax revenue. To no one's surprise now because of the economy. And only 9.8% of our money now comes from transfer tax. Page four shows you the pie chart that we've shown council before. It shows you how the average tax dollar is broken out. 63 cents goes to public safety services. Just a note of that 63 cents, 3 cents of that 63 cents goes to fund the volunteer fire companies. So 3 cents of every dollar goes to the volunteer fire companies. The chart on the bottom shows you the unincorporated tax rate for next year. This will be the third straight year we've not had a tax increase. And you see, depending on what municipality you're in, there are tax credits given if that municipality serves provides that service. For instance, if you look at the very bottom, Wilmington, they only pay 24.36 cents, primarily because they provide police service and various other services that the county also provides, so they get a credit for those services.
And I had a question that pertains to municipalities in my district. I mean, you don't have to have an answer now. I mean, you might have to research it, but, you know, I have four municipalities. And looking at Arden, Ardentown, Ardencroft, and Bellefonte, why is Bellefonte so much higher than the other ones in terms of its assessed value?
I get you the exact answer, but basically it depends what services the county provides them. We send them out every year a checklist of what services the county provides, what services they provide. And based on that unincorporated number of 70.06, we deduct from it as we assign different services. So, but I can get you that chart exactly why Bellefonte. Okay.
Councilman Weiner?
Yes. I suspect possibly Bellefonte recently, last year or two, contracted for code enforcement and some policing activities, whereas before they hadn't. And they're such a small municipality that on a percentage basis, it just ends up being a large number.
I can get you a breakdown of what services between the two are different.
Okay, so, appreciate that.
As the average unincorporated tax bill on the bottom is $502. Because Councilman Cartier asked me a couple of weeks ago, what is the median tax bill in this county? And it's about $440 is the median tax bill that most taxpayers pay.
Councilman Weiner.
How could we find per council district? Is that available
I have
online?
That information. I can be happy to send it to you. In fact, I'm looking at it right in front of me, for instance, so I can get that information to each of you.
Great, thanks.
And again, it's going to differ depending. Some of you have municipalities in your district, so you're going to have to look at both rates. Whether you're in an unincorporated area, that's one set of numbers, and if you have a municipality in your district, that's a whole different set of numbers.
Yeah, why don't you just send it to all of us,
sure.
All the districts. That'd
sure.
be great to have. Thank
sure.
you.
No problem at all. Page five just shows you, again, the history of taxes, the tax yields from 2006 to 2013. Again, as I said, this is the third year without any tax increase for the county. Even though CPI is going up 2.8% this year, we're keeping the tax rate flat. Page six on the bottom, just want to show you, this is the amount of taxes exempt, that we exempt. Roughly about $5.3 billion of taxes are exempt from paying county taxes. Roughly it's a tax exempt or a tax loss of around $26.8 million that we exempt from paying taxes. Majority of that money is the general exemptions. That's the governments, the religious, the health organizations, charitable, universities. That represents almost 77% of the money that we lose out or exempt from paying taxes come from that section. And then the residential is about $5.1 million, or roughly about 19%, and that's the senior exemption program this week. So put it in perspective, that $26.8 million, that represents about a 25% tax increase if we were going to, that's what we're giving up a year.
I'd like to recognize that Council Member Diller has joined us at the table.
Page seven, interesting chart. It shows you where the growth has been in Newcastle County, an assessment from 2006 to 2013. The unincorporated area, between that time period of 7 years, has only grown 4.3%, or roughly about 0.61% a year, the unincorporated area. Go down to somebody like Middletown, Their assessment has increased, growth, their area has increased about 73% from 2006 to 2013, or roughly about 10% of their assessment base is growing over that time period. The winner is Towns End. They've grown about 190% over that period, from 2006 to 2013, or roughly 27% a year. So as you see, still most of the growth is in the Middletown, Towns End area, and minimal growth in the unincorporated area we see. The negative you see from Middletown, that is, I'm not Middletown, I'm sorry, Newark, that is because the Crozier plant was taken off the assessment roll, just causing the county and Newark to lose tax revenues for that, as now the University of Delaware facility.
And Ed, I guess to go to the Townsend example, this is where we've got primarily agricultural land being converted into residential subdivision development.
Right, and some of it was annexation too.
And annexation.
They annexed some land over that period. And you're right, like you said, farmland going to residential, right?
And the higher assessed value resulting.
Right. I want to give up as far as the amnesty program before we do taxes. As of good news, as of Friday, we've had 24 residents now take advantage of the tax amnesty program. As far as fees or revenues brought in on county taxes, we've brought in about $10,000 in county taxes, and we've waived penalties of about $2,000 roughly. As far as school taxes, we've brought in an additional $36,000 and waived penalty of about $7,500. So through Friday, 24 residents have taken advantage of that program. Transfer tax, as you can see on the chart, we talked about how the great drop in transfer tax from $40 million to its glory to about $16 million annually. Two things I want to talk about here. There was it's a first-time home buyers program that the county, not the state, exempt first-time home buyers from the paying the transfer tax. The period 2004 through today through 2012, we have foregone $26.2 million in transfer tax to first-time home buyers. If you're looking at just this year, even though the economy is slow, home buying slow, we've exempted $1.4 million in first-time home buyers. The interesting thing is that, remember, we had a bill down in the legislature that asked if we could put a cap, like a $300,000 cap. We didn't go anywhere with that cap. But just for your information purposes, for houses $300,000 and plus that have been bought this year, we've exempted $255,000 in transfer tax. And that was the group we were going to put a cap on, $300,000 below, but we never got that. But for houses over $400,000, we've exempted about $62,000. So we still have people out there buying $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 houses that are enjoying the transfer tax exemption. And as I mentioned before, transfer tax, even though we're seeing an increase in transactions, the value of those transactions are still not going up.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Council President.
Thank you, sir. While we're on real estate transfer tax, Ed, can you just briefly explain, I guess, why, I mean, it's a very modest increase, but what's the basis for going from 16 million to 16.3? What's that, you know, how
we're looking for, hopefully there'll be an increase in the houses. I don't see houses going up any lower, value going up lower. Hopefully there'll be an increase. We look at what the state's projecting. The state is projecting a 5% increase in their real estate transfer tax next year. So it's a combination of those things.
All right, so we're basing that on the state's model, and then also with our hope that the market's bottomed out.
Right, exactly. Okay, sewer charges and fees is page 9. There is no sewer fixed rate increase next year. And just to remember, the universe for this is not only the residential. We talk a lot about it residential, but we also have a large group of commercial apartments and our industrial users that also pay a sewer fee increase. I just sent letters out past Friday to all our major users, other non-residential users, informing them that there will be no sewer increase for next year. They always ask us, in order that they do their budgets, of what they're seeing as far as where we're projecting a sewer rate increase. So we inform them that as far as next year, the sewer rate will not change. The average bill for next year is about $283 for sewer increase. If you look on page 10, it breaks down the types of accounts we bill and the dollars we get from each account. About 97% of our users are residential. It's 115,000 of the 119,000 residential users, about 97%. As far as revenues go, the residential provides about 47% of our revenues for the sewer fund. And that whole other group, the industrials, commercials, apartments, provide 53% of the sewer fund revenues.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Council President, once again, sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The allowance for delinquent, that's a pretty sizable allowance, and pretty, you know, $2 million in delinquencies to the county. Is there, I mean, I'm sure you've looked at, you know, shaking the tree and figure out how we can cut, you know, right, any ways that we can minimize that. Are there anything planned upcoming or anything that's worked in the past? Or
A couple things what we do is, I mean, that represents about a 96-97% delinquency, and that's just based on history. A couple things we do is that we added another delinquent account collector. That person just came on board recently within the past month, so hopefully that'll help. One thing we do with residentials, those that are delinquent, we do send letters to their mortgage companies, and a lot of times the mortgage companies will pay those sewer bills, and in turn they'll go against their escrow. Again, hopefully between those two areas where we have another person in the delinquent account collector that we can work on that. But usually within 5 years, we'll collect most of that money, though. So we can work on it.
Thank you. In this other service charges, that looks like it's going up every year. I guess it's still the estimate for 2012. But what is that, and why is that increasing, this other service charges?
Yeah. Most of that is...
Like it went from 5 million to 6 million, 6.1 to almost 6.8 million this year. What's, you know?
There's a couple things in that. That's basically it's the septic waste hauler fees, wastewater discharge fees, stormwater groundwater. We have the fog program that we started a couple years ago. We're getting more revenues in that. It's a fat oil and grease program. We include in there. We get money from for recovery zone bonds that goes in there also. So basically, it's any fee that's not part of the service charges that are sewer related that go in there.
And have we raised any of those fees, or that's just a result of?
Those fees have gone up. Special services can raise those fees based on the county code. So they look at those fees every year, and they raise those accordingly as needed.
Councilman Weiner, then Councilman Smiley.
Thank you. Ed, can you also email us the per household, per district sewer rates as well?
I don't know if we can do that or not.
We don't do that?
Danny Harmer.
It's not readily available.
Do you have information available?
You mean per council district?
Yes, sir.
We could probably get that.
Okay. We'll work on that.
If it's available.
Yeah. Never get sewers based on the two lowest quarters of residential bill. Mm-hmm. So that has, like, if you live in a district where people conserve their water, then they're going to have lower sewer bills. So, but we can see what the information looks like.
Bob, the empty nesters are going to have a lower sewer bill because they're not using the water.
Mm-hmm.
Councilman Smiley.
And ironically, for those that think they aren't getting a good deal, I was just forced to go online in Sussex County, and I get a quarterly bill. I'm paying over $500 a year to flush for about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
Go ahead and conserve.
Because there's no water meter, it's well water, so there's a flat. There's a cost for the maintenance and a cost for the usage based on the footage of the pipe, right, the frontage.
Right, front footage.
So I'm paying over $500 a year to flush 3 times a year.
$500 a foot. And one issue we may have with the sewer bill next year, where hopefully we don't have an issue, is that Artesian, are going to be billing monthly now. Those people, customers that are on Artesian water, they're going to be doing a monthly bill now instead of the quarterly bill. So we have to reconfigure our data. So if we normally get quarterly data from the water companies, that's how we do our billing on two lowest coolers. So we have to work with Artesian to reconfigure that data, because they're going to be billing residents now on a monthly basis.
I had another question. In your allowance for delinquent, do we have any major accounts out there that are delinquent? I mean, I know we went through that quite an adventure with the NBF bankruptcy and recovering our sewer fees out of that, which was about $1 million, as I recall.
Right.
And do we have any major delinquent accounts like a major commercial user like that?
I can't think of any. I'm turning again. Not any.
So the preponderance of this is residential?
No, it could be commercial. It could be. Yeah, I mean, it's a mixture.
It's a mixture.
You're right.
There's no one in there that
there's no MBFs in there anymore.
Okay.
A lot of those are at a point in time, like if it's an apartment complex, they may be a quarter late, and then they'll make it up the next quarter for one reason or another, you know. So.
Okay.
Page 11, use of money on property. This money becomes primarily from the county's interest earnings, RTT debt service proceeds, and City of Wilmington. We still get some rental from the use of this building, and then we have various rentals that we collect money on. If you look at that chart in the middle, this is another area we've seen a great drop in earnings. This county has seen from interest earnings going from the highs of $7.4 million in the general fund to around $3.1 million. Again, that is all depending on rates again. Rates affect that, what we get. Page 12 shows our service charges and fees. These are primarily revenues we get from the row offices. You'll see sheriff, deeds, and wills. The one area where we're in kind of a standstill, I guess, is what's going to happen with the sheriff office with the mediations. We've seen a drastic drop in sheriff sales, whether they'll be pent up and released and come this summer is what we're hearing. But we are seeing we saw 24 sheriff sales last month, didn't we?
This month was 24.
24.
36 next.
Like
so depending on how this mediation all falls out, we'll probably see a drop in revenues for the next 2 or 3 months from this area. We get some money here in recreation. Public safety, we get 911 fees from landlines, traffic fines that police lay out, and then emergency communications. We get some reimbursement for the state operators are within our 911 center. We've also got some here from zoning fees and then miscellaneous revenues there. Chart on the bottom shows you the service charges and fees.
Mr. Council President and then Councilman Weiner.
Well, thank you, sir, Ed, for the interrupt your flow on that.
That's
one.
Fine.
Everything looks, the sheriff obviously is lower. You explained why. The zoning fees, do we have a feeling of where our 2012 estimate is? That are we going to come in over estimate, at estimate? And I'm just like, it looks like we get bumped up, you know, a third next year. Do we have a feeling again that zoning's coming back for some reason, or was our 2012 estimate low?
What are you doing on that?
This year we've seen significantly less activity, particularly for new subdivision plans. When we set the estimate for next year, we didn't assume any significant increased activity, but there are some new higher rates that land use is implementing. So it's going to be getting a little bit closer back to normal activity because this year is just extraordinarily low, and slightly higher rates is the reason for the increase for between 12 and 13 for zoning fees.
Okay, so zoning fees are estimated higher because A, increased activity, and B, increased fees.
Correct.
Okay.
As we said before, a lot of these, almost 90% of our revenues are land use related. So how land use does is how the county does.
And Ed, along the same line, the miscellaneous,
right.
1.5, 1.7, then 3.4.
What that is there are two revenue sources that we're taking in as county revenues. They've been held in escrow since 1999. These are pre-1999 UDC revenues that we have in hand that have been in escrow. And our auditors said recommended that we bring those in as revenues. They term them stale revenues, that they've been sitting there for a long time. What they are is two revenue sources that were under the old Public Works Department we had in this county. One was monuments. If you're familiar with the monument markers, I haven't seen one in a long time, but it used to be a monument markers that you would see as far as making boundaries for developments. Those were required. There was a deposit required on those pre 1999, and that money is sitting has been sitting in there for those developers that have come back to get that money. They've never come back since to get their share of that money. And then that's about $1 million. And then also LNI, the old LNI section in Public Works, used to collect money from developers to ensure compliance for code and regs. What we're doing is we're bringing that money in as revenue other than 10%. We're still leaving 10% in case somebody does show up one day to collect those monies. But basically, that's what those are. Those are old pre-UDC escrows that have been sitting on the county's books since the early 2000s.
So it's kind of like a sheeting them into the state then, or the county then?
Yeah, we're leaving 10%. We're leaving 10% in there just in case. Again, this is an old escrow subsidiary, you want to call it, has been sitting there. It's funny, they're all there, said you need to do something with that revenue that's been sitting there.
$1 million for a boundary?
Monuments. Wow. I don't remember the whole process, but I remember seeing the cement markers around. So.
Councilman Wunder, then Councilman Smiley.
My questions were just asked. Thank you.
Councilman Spence.
I would suggest that they show up the door for the money, though. If the company's no longer licensed in business, in order for us to hold them responsible for repairs, then they're no longer in business to receive a refund either.
Okay. Page 13, speaking of licenses and permits, this is the majority of revenue that we get out of our land use area, our building permits, and contractors and business licenses. You see page 13 in the bottom, that chart shows you know, where we're up and down our building permits. One year we're up, it might be a big plan that comes in, like an AI DuPont hospital, and you go back and forth as far as the revenues go. If you look at that chart in the middle, though, it does show you the activity in the building area. These are on a calendar year basis. You see the residential, alterations, additions, commercial, industrial. For calendar year 10, those three numbers added up to about 3,000 permits issued in 2010. In 2011, those numbers add up to about 2,800. So we saw about a 7.5% decrease in number of permits issued. That's on calendar year basis. And you'll see the value also of each one of those items being down also. So still a building area, still a slow area as far as getting us driving revenues from them. We go over to the next page, intergovernmental revenue, very top. The majority of that revenue is the paramedic reimbursement we get from the state. We get 30% paramedic reimbursement for our costs associated with the program. Roughly, that's about $4.3 million of revenues we get. Other revenues we collect in this area, we do get a fee from some of the other municipalities, such as State of Delaware, Middletown, some of this for collecting that RTT. So we get some money there. We do get some indirect cost revenues out of the federal programs. And we do get some other revenues from some governmental agencies. What I want to mention, though, in intergovernmental revenues is something I mentioned to the council before. If you were to add up the revenues that this county has lost due to state action, that number is currently $8.8 million annually this county forgoes through state action, whether it be the paramedic reimbursement going from 60 to 30%, corporate filing fees. We gave half our corporate filing fees per state action to the city of Wilmington back in 2008. We have dog control, we've talked about many a times. The RTT first-time home buyers is around $2 million, and then the abatements of taxes for Fisker and PBF. Add all those up, it's about $8.8 million a year of revenues that go out of this county due to state action.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you.
Council President Kovac.
Are there any other governments, sub-entities of Delaware that provide paramedic?
All three counties do. Sussex County and Kent County all provide paramedic service.
Is the reimbursement percentage the same for all three?
Yeah. At the height, it was 60%, mm-hmm. And then it went down to 50, 40, and it's currently at 30%. Mm-hmm. But all three counties provide paramedic service.
Thank you.
Council President Kovac.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Following up on that, you know, the state's obviously now facing another budget shortfall. Any talk, words, hints that they're going to be cutting that 30% reimbursements to the counties?
I'm not aware of any right now. I see Kristen shaking her head over there. She's got her eyes and ears down in Dover.
Kristen Dwyer, Executive Office. No, I have not been approached by that. We haven't been hearing any buzz around that.
Okay.
I mean, you always hear about the paramedic reimbursement, and also many years, a couple years ago, the transfer tax, taking transfer tax either down or taking it all, but we're pretty quiet, so.
I mean, because that just a push down on taxes, somebody else.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You're exactly right.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
The $8.8 million annually since what year?
Well, that's currently, as of right now.
Okay.
I guess that's at the height right now with everything. I guess it was in 2008, 2007 is when we started to see the paramedic reimbursement go down, dog control, the corporate filing fees. Probably over the past 3 or 4 years. So
it's just been growing?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Where it currently is about $8.8 million a year. Just some of the other items in there. We chancery reimbursement. We still have 3 employees that are county employees, but work in the chancery office in the state. We do get reimbursed from them for our costs associated with those employees. And that's most of that. Other items, the special assessments. Those are the light tax and the crossing guards. Depending on what type of light you have, what time or what district you're in as far as crossing guards, your bills are all different. For the school districts, for the crossing guards, your bill for next year could range from a low of $12.87 to a high of around $19.43, depending again on what district you live in. Same thing for the lights. Lights range anywhere from $5.83 if you have a wood pole in front of you to $118 if you have a turn of the century pole. So we do get cover our administrative costs in both these areas as far as the overhead. But again, depending on what where you live at or what type of light you get, that's how you get billed on those services. Last item on here is the use of available cash balances. In the sewer fund, we're going to use $1.6 million in that fund to balance that budget. The light fund will use $858,000, and the crossing guard will use $30,000 for next year to balance those budgets. Any questions on that?
Yes. And when we collect the school tax, don't we get a fee for that, or do we?
Well, we get the float on the money.
The float on the money?
Yeah. When we were getting about 5% on that money, it was about $1.5, $1.6 million. Currently, it's about maybe $80,000 of the rates we get. So,
wow.
Yeah. So we get the float on the money.
Councilman Redding.
Same line, Ed. What's it cost us to do that?
You'd have to break it out because it's... We cover our costs and make a little on it, but depending on
is it worth?
Currently it is. You know, if the state were to do it on themselves, it probably would cost the state about $2 million to do that, to have their own billing. But as of right now, you know,
it's their schools,
right? We could put that on the list of things that the state handed down to us.
Councilman Weiner and Council President Kovac.
The percentage of reserves, which will remain after any reductions for this upcoming fiscal year, how does that equate with government standards required or mandated or recommended for reserves?
Well, the two rainy day funds that we have, general fund and sewer fund, they are mandated legally, legislatively, to have 20%. The two other funds will be probably... And the general fund will have about $50 million in reserves, which is on the high end of reserves, and that will go into my, when I talk about our bond rating later on. And then on the sewer fund, we'll have about 2 months of reserves in there, which is good to have for a utility. So.
Is there any auditing standard or a government standard in terms of the amount of months of reserve? Or?
Well, as a basis, as a safe, you should have at least 2 months of reserve, just like you would have your own savings.
Sure.
So for operating purposes, you should have at least 2 months of reserve.
But there's no standard auditor standard?
Again, if you read the standards they recommend are 2 months of reserves.
Okay.
Not auditing, but general governmental principles, 2 months of reserve.
Okay. Thank you.
Council President Kovac and Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I think Councilman Warner was touching on this. I guess this takes us down to about somewhere around, I'll round it, you could give me the exact numbers, $13 million in reserves to $10.5 million in reserves for the sewer fund?
For the sewer fund, probably around I think it's around 13 something, probably around 12, 10 something, not to 11, so yeah. Okay. How we do this fiscal year.
Okay. So we're lowering that, and what we're lowering it to leaves us two, still leaves us 2 months
in
the
reserve. 2 months, right.
Okay.
Yeah. On the light tax.
Right.
A couple of years ago, when the turn of the century lights came out, weren't those the ones that were tremendously expensive and people were in such a tremendous uproar when their bills came? I thought we did some equalization on that. Is that...
No.
No?
I'll go to Denny again. He's our light tax expert on that. But
I know.
No, we did not.
Yeah, I mean, basically, when they first came out, they're going to be high because you only have a pool of one or two subdivisions. Now that pool is built up, you have 5,000 or 6,000 accounts in there, so that has lowered the rate drastically.
Okay.
Now that you have a bigger pool.
Because it's based countywide?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, just for the note, on the light fund, you'll see we're using $858,000 of light fund reserve. The reason being is that when we set our rates, Delmarva will go for the Public Utilities Commission, so we bill based on those recommended rates, and then depending on what final rate is finally determined, we don't have the capacity to go back and adjust everybody's rate, so we'll collect that revenue and then apply it to next year's rates, either lower or wherever we need to do that. So, but I think there's a, Delmarva has a current right in front of the Public Utility Commission for another rate increase.
Yes. So,
and a lot of times the rates, the increase is on the, what am I thinking, it's on the poles, right?
Or? Yes. Yeah, we pay for the poles, for maintenance of the fixtures, and for the electric. And the electric is a very small cost of street lighting.
Hmm. Councilman Taggart.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ed, you know, I mean, I just have to comment quickly that, you know, each year you come before us, you really do present a very nice budget. You know, it flows freely. You're extremely, you know, department is extremely knowledgeable in your presentation. Although we've seen with some other departments, you know, some stuff have been left out, and they have to make a few corrections and additions that, you know, we're left kind of scrambling in our seats here to add. You know, yours has always been very thorough, and it is what it is as you bring it to us. So, obviously, knowing, you know, that your department functions as a team, you know, and obviously, you know, everybody is doing their fair share in there and doing a great job at it. But, you know, when we reach down and we have to find, you know, an individual or something out there, you know, with us, who our constituents are having problems with, you know, if we're looking for somebody in there for, you know, great customer service, they're extremely knowledgeable, very professional, and always accessible, you know, Denny's face pops into my mind every time. Yeah, I mean, it's just a wonderful job.
Denny know. Does a great job. The only bad part Denny has is he lives in New Jersey, but he does pay a toll. I got the DRBA every day. Denny does. When I need help with a constituent issue, Denny's great on helping out. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. So.
Just a privilege of the chair, if I could ask, going back to the light tax. Now, that's a utility cost that we recover, right?
Right. We recover the total cost, and then we get a 10% overhead.
And 10% overhead.
Right.
For our personnel cost and all that.
For Denny.
Paying something.
Okay, page 15, I guess somebody had asked about the federal revenues. Again, these were just projected revenues for next year. Total grant revenue is about $23.4 million of revenues. Most of that revenue comes from Marcus's group, the federal grant community services. You'll see that $17.2 million from Section 8, that's 74% of the total $23 million of revenues this county gets. Community services gets 95% of those revenues. About the only revenue in Marcus's group there, you'll see, is that the state aid from the library is about $1.9 million. We get some minor land use grants from the state, you'll see, and then public safety gets various grants during the year from, you know, the SLEEP and the SALLIES and the ED grants. But that's just a rough estimate of the money that comes through here for grant money. So.
Well, this is indicative, again, of the wonderful work that Lori Kane and her people do over there in public safety. Look at the grants we write to enhance our public safety function.
You know, as I mentioned, we get a lot of small grants that she gets, $5,000 or $10,000 grants, whether it be like a clicker ticket or very small special program she'll get that, you know, that are, she does a great job with that. You're right. Okay, page 16 is contingency money. The employee cost reductions, that number was put in before the decision came down from the arbitrator, from the FOP, which is being challenged or being appealed. But that was the value of the FOP give back, the $606,000, showing as an employee cost reduction in the budget that was submitted. We'll have to go through and adjust either salaries or benefits depending on how that finally gets resolved. The other contingencies you'll see is council, executive. We have a severance contingency, which barely covers our severance cost. Through February, we had about $1.7 million of severances that were paid out to the county. Most of those money is either recaptured salary savings within the departments to cover this cost. And then there's some minor money for salary adjustments that may happen during the year, whether it be for overtime or position reorganization within within an office. So those are our contingencies that we have.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Council President.
Thank you. The contingency budget, Ed, do we have this? It says non-departmental. Are they kind of added up and then lumped in the same department? I mean, lumped in the same account? Where do you kind of keep those?
There's a category called contingencies, actually, department called contingency. That's where they most are located.
Okay, so they reside all together?
Right.
All the contingencies reside together?
Yeah, if you look in the budget, you can see contingencies.
Okay. And if they don't get utilized, they don't get returned to any of these departments?
No, they just revert back.
Okay.
Anything that left at the end of the year reverts back.
Okay. So basically, these contingencies aren't money that these places, these various departments have to spend. They're overall contingencies in case something happens.
Exactly. Let me turn to page 17. This is debt service. For next year, our debt service budget is approximately $40.6 million for all funds. Just to note, the AAA bond rating, I mentioned this before, we are, there are 3,000 counties in the United States. There's only 30 that have the AAA bond rating from all three rating agencies, roughly about 1% of that group receive that AAA bond rating. Which is very prestigious. We've held that since I guess February 2001. That AAA bond rating. Just a note, AAA bond rating. Not only when the rating agencies come in here and look at us, they not only look at our financial situation, they look at the economy. I know Councilman Street last week and Councilman Hollis had concerns about the port. That would be something the AAA bond rating agencies would look at. They are very, very concerned about the economy when they come in here and review our AAA bond rating. 4 years ago when they came in here and did it, they were very concerned about that's when Chrysler was closing, General Motors was closing. So they really they spent a lot of time because they figure if the economy is doing well, the government's going to be doing well. So they really look at the economy as far as how's it going in Delaware. So the port would be a perfect example of that. Something would happen to the port. When they came in here and did our next rating, they'd be concerned about that. They wanted to know the path forward with that. So that is a big concern of theirs. The page, as far as the policy of legal debt margin, we have one legislative requirement, and that's in state code. We are currently, our debt shall not exceed 3% of the taxable assessed valuation. You'll see that chart on the bottom. We are currently at 1%. We are allowed to go to 3%, but we are currently at 1% of our, and that's for all our general fund debt. We have various other internal policies that we have. For example, our net direct debt should now exceed $400. We're at $335. One thing that's important, our debt principal to be retired. Within the next 10 years, it's at 52%. This shows the rating agencies and they come in that we're not putting all the debt out for 30 years. We retire our debt, trying to retire it evenly over the next years. The one item we still have is our one policy as far as the debt service as a percentage of the budget. In the general fund, we're fine. We're at 15%. It's our policy. We're at 13.9. The sewer fund is 20%. We are at 4.2% as a percentage of the budget. As I said last year, the major reason for that is the Brandywine 100 work, the amount of sewer debt we've issued over the years. And also the oddity is as we reduce other parts of our sewer fund, whether it be salaries or utilities or treatment costs, the debt service is fixed, even though the budget's going down. So that debt service represents a bigger chunk of that budget as we lower other parts of the budget. So there's two reasons why our percentage is at 24.2% next year. If you look at the chart on page 18, though, you'll see that for all our debt service, this chart really tell you the picture. Our debt service as a percentage cost, our requirements are going down as they go out in the out years. So our debt service isn't growing. It's just a bigger percentage of our budget as it currently is. You'll see the general fund debt goes down as the years go out. And the same thing with the sewer fund, that debt goes down. It's not going up in the out years, it's going down, our requirement. Again, if it wasn't for the work on the Grand 100, we would not have that huge spike in debt service. But then again, if we weren't doing that work, we'd probably be getting fined by the EPA. So we'd be paid one way or the other. This way we're improving the environment up there, getting work done up in that Grand 100 area that's helping that area up there as far as getting the sewer backing up and running. If you look back in this government 20 years ago, we went for a period of 10 or 15 years where we had no sewer rate increase. It's unfortunate they would have raised sewer back then and started this rehab process, where now we are stuck, this county government is stuck with doing this rehab and finding the funding for it. So hopefully that number will go down as we go in the out years, but we are currently over our policy of 20%. We're at 24.2% for our debt service.
I had a question, Ed, regarding sewer. So, you know, we have committed these resources to the Brandy 100, and, you know, we're probably, by all counts, die here halfway through the project.
Right.
And including last year, we floated $33 million in additional, capital bonds for that project. My question to you is, you know, what about other areas of the county, which certainly have, you know, sewers that are probably as old as what we have in the Brandy 100, and what can we project their capital investment needs are going to be going forward?
Well, when we look at special services budget, you'll see that they are currently studying in the White Clay area, Christiana area. So they are cognizant of other issues that may come up in those areas. What those costs will be, until those studies come back, we can't tell. I mean, Brandy 100 is the oldest in this system, you know, and hopefully the preventive maintenance program that they do, whether it be the grease or the roots, will help those other areas of the county make their systems, you know, longer as far as life with the preventive maintenance, that we wouldn't have those problems that Brandy 100 has right now. So again, I'll come back to those studies, and hopefully, as I said, the preventive maintenance program will make those life so there's other systems where we'd rather be White Clay or Christiana longer.
Maybe this is out of your ken a little bit, but, you know, are we going to be under scrutiny by EPA and Denerec about other areas of our sewer system?
Well,
are they mainly looking at the Brandy 100 overflow issues?
Well, any place you have an overflow issue, they're going to be looking at. That's probably a good question. Tomorrow, it's Special Services is giving an update on the Brandy 100. It might be a good area to discuss other parts of the county also, what they're saying.
Councilman Tackett and Council President Kovac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ed, this might be a better question asked for Denny, but I'll go ahead and ask it to you.
Sure.
You mentioned the 20% threshold that we try to set, you know, but we're actually at 24.
Right.
I think last year we had roughly about a $10 increase per household on sewer, mm-hmm. roughly, right?
Right.
And you had mentioned in past years we had any. Well, how are we justifying no sewer increase if we're at 24 and we look for a threshold of 20 this year? What it's costing us for the infrastructure.
Well, we're at 24. We were at 24 again this past year also. We're around 24% for the current year budget also.
Uh-huh.
So that's covered that way. As far as our rate being low, our rate is real low.
Right.
I mean, in fact, it's so low that it's hard to get low interest loans compared to other municipalities in Delaware. But I'm still not sure what your exact question is.
Well, you were talking about the infrastructure and how much it's costing us, and the fact that the county had put off or staved off basically, you know, sewer increases in the past, which we're kind of paying for it now. Mm-hmm. And then I was getting back to how are we at this year with no proposed sewer increase if, you know, we're in this situation?
Well, the debt service is the debt service. We have a payment to make, so that payment is being paid either through sewer fees or the other charges within the sewer fund,
right?
Or we are using some available cash to pay that this year. So,
okay, I just didn't rationale how you kind of, I don't know, maybe my terminology isn't correct, but you know, you kind of admonish the county for not raising sewer taxes before and kind of putting it off, but we're not raising them this year, so we seem to be fine.
But our revenues we get for next year, for 2030, are paying for the debt service that is doing the work up there currently. So we have enough money next year's budget to pay what our mortgage costs are for that work that's being there. Now, if we got to a bond issue next year or the year after, we're probably going to have to raise rates to pay for that.
Okay. I guess maybe I'm not understanding you, or you're not understanding me, but I guess ultimately we don't have a sewer increase this year, so
no.
Apparently we're fine.
Right.
I guess another way to phrase it, if I could, if we were to increase revenues, can we drive down that rate as a percentage of our budget?
Well, or next time, instead of doing a bond issue, if we do instead of doing a bond issue, next time we just raise rates to pay for that.
Right.
You could do that, you pay cash for it. But you know, whether that's fair, whether that the current users pay for all those costs, you know, or whether it be spread out over 20 or 30 years, where it's spread out for all the users of that system over the next 20 or 30 years. So,
okay. Council President Kovac.
Thank you. And Ed, this is kind of tangentially related to the sewer costs that we're talking about. I mean, and puts this more of a special services issue, but our stormwater control is also, that budget is also, if I'm correct, wrapped up in our sewer fund as well.
The sewer, right, exactly.
And that's going to be something we're going to need to keep a close eye on, because I mean, we're going to obviously keep an eye on the sewer, you know, in other areas besides Brandywine 100, but stormwater, you know, it's going to be an important issue and something that might be mandated on right. The counties soon, so we better keep a mindful eye on
yeah.
that as far as our coordinating with, you know, our budgeting process with anticipated not only sewer improvements but stormwater controls
right.
as well.
And when you look at it, special services budget, they are implementing this non-pollution discharge elimination system permit. There's an initial cost in their budget, $570,000, I guess, for the startup of it. And they'll be discussing that when they do their budget. But you are correct about the stormwater being part of that also.
Thanks.
The other pages I'm not going to get into, it just shows you the schedule of our mortgage payments for the debt service. It breaks it down. If you were get your mortgage book in front of you at home, you'd see the same type of schedule of what we're paying as far as our mortgage payments from page 19 shows you all the funds. Again, as I mentioned, you'll see next year's payment is $40 million for both the general and sewer fund. And then as years go out, that number does go down. But again, there is a possibility, we'll probably do another sewer, a bond rating, bond issue probably in the summer or the fall for both the general and sewer fund. So, and the key is to have level debt in the sewer fund. You want to have debt service that goes up and down every year. We always try to have as much as we can, smooth debt service payments every year, so for budgeting purposes. That ends my presentation on the revenues, the contingencies, and the debt service. I'll be happy to answer any other questions that anybody has.
Yes, and going back to the federal aspect, I mean, isn't it true we can only expect pretty significant cuts going forward in that area?
Yeah, I think so. If you know, community services budget hearing, they've experienced cuts 2-3 years in a row. I think the cuts we're seeing right now is administratively, a lot of the administrative costs that they incur being cut. And I think that's what most governments are seeing. They are cutting back the program somewhat, but I think it's only a matter of time until they actually start cutting back the money for programs itself also.
What percentage of that budget employs personnel?
There's roughly about 38 to 40 people that are federally funded employees in that group.
You don't have the cost?
I can get you the dollars.
Okay, if you could, I'd appreciate that.
Sure.
That's overhead that the federal government bears for us to administer programs.
Well, we do get some minimal indirect cost. The general fund is about $100,000 for some of their costs, but it's very minimal compared to what support the general fund gives to the federal grants program. That's another area that's been cut over the years, the indirect cost also. Okay, that wraps up my presentation. If there's any other questions.
A lot of numbers here, Ed. A lot to digest. And just to reiterate what Councilman Tackett said, you know, very thorough presentation with a lot of different facets covered in this budget hearing on revenues, debt service, and contingencies. I can tell you that I use this data when I go to my civic associations this time of year. I have a couple coming up, and I give them an earful about budget. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially the ones where you have, you know, bar graphs or pie charts. Those are visual. They really
right.
kind of are easily digestible by the public in a meeting. And, you know, I always am driving home to folks that the county government's costs are really related to public safety, over 60 cents every dollar we receive. And to this day, it's surprising how many people don't know that.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. A lot of people don't know.
You know, but they look at us in a different way once they comprehend that.
And I think as a government, we are, as far as our budget goes, we're probably as transparent as many any government out there as far as the availability of information, what your money pays for.
Well, I could say, without pointing fingers at anybody or anything, I have never seen a presentation from a state legislator on our state budget like I present. From your data, your group's data, when I go out to the public, I'm able to really resource it in an effective, direct way, and people can relate to it. Right. So,
and all this information is on the website. So,
I appreciate all the hard work you people do in finance, and you know, in honoring our commitment for fiscal transparency. Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Just in regard to the federal grants, and I just want to make sure that we all realize what we have here in terms of we don't have the $17 million in Section 8 money. So where do folks stay? They're either in the street, bunking up with sheltering with family, which usually doesn't last long, or they're going to shelters. And then there's $2 million in shelters. So as the federal government cut, the danger for us is that the $20 million total directly related, and you get to the point where folks have nowhere to stay, then it's gonna come down in the other portion of the budget that is public safety, because if you got nowhere to stay, you're gonna do what you have to do to survive. So the importance is, and the continuation to keep fighting as a government, and recognizing and joining municipalities and other counties across the country and trying to maintain those funds and I, in my opinion, which of course is very biased, increase them. It's just very, very important, and it's a major percentage of the budget, and I just want to make sure that we recognize the benefits of that.
Yes, yeah, go ahead.
Just one other group I'd like to recognize that we don't talk about much is Denny does a great job with his group, but it's the people who are on the phones. We have Denny has a great group of customer service people that tax and sewer. Most of the time people are calling are not very happy about their tax or sewer bill that they get. I think Denny's group does a great job as far as you know, calming people down, explaining to them the reason what they're getting billed by, they're getting billed, and work with them as far as if they need you know, help with getting straightened out. So I think they do a great job. There's people that are on the lines day to day. So thanks, Denny's group, for that too. So.
Okay, any other questions from members of council? Very good presentation.
Thank you.
With that, I'll entertain it. Go to the public. Anybody have any comments for the public? No one here. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Meeting adjourned. Thank you.